Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport. Thank you for coming back to the Inside Lacrosse Podcast. I am Terry Foy, joined today by Kyle Harrison, the Director of Players and Inclusion for the Premier Lacrosse League. And on this Cyber Monday, the day before Giving Tuesday, we are talking about the newly reimagined PLL Assists program, which was kind of the outgrowth of a PLL Assists program that was launched about a month after the league was launched in total. And we're going to dive into the details and the work that's being done with Kyle. But first, we're recording this shortly before Thanksgiving. We just saw the launch of Roots, which is a PLL production that really tries to explain some of the origins of lacrosse and the way in which it appeals to and includes individuals within the sport and the community that don't fit the stereotypes that sometimes emanate from folks outside of the sport of lacrosse. So Kyle, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great. That was quite the intro there. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, man. What can I say? It's my job. But let's begin by talking a little bit about kind of how the last couple months have unfolded, what's new in your world, and specifically you lend your voice to this video production that was led by Brett Roberts and the PLL staff to help people understand a little bit more of the different ways in which the sport kind of goes in different directions. So can you tell us a little bit about what Roots was?
Yeah, no, you know, I think the coolest part about Roots is and something while watching it, you know, and as we built it, that was all driven by Brett and team. I just was fortunate enough to get to do the voiceover. So I remember a few weeks ago when I did do my voiceover and was reading through it, like the stuff that's in there, man, like it's just, I've been around lacrosse my entire life, almost 33 years. And there's stuff I'm still picking up. So I think it's an important video, not only for our sport, but I think as we look to, make our footprint bigger and get more eyeballs on the sport, it's an important video for people to see.
So let's open up the conversation a little bit. As I mentioned, we're recording this before Thanksgiving, obviously, you know, kind of a unique moment in time. How are you doing? How's your family doing?
Oh, that was nice of you, Terry. They're hanging in, man. It's the new normal for now, right? I think we're all, like everyone, we're at that breaking point where, like, this is just like, will it never end? But I think the silver lining is the amount of time you're getting to spend with your family. And, you know, this is time for me, as difficult as it is for my two children, we have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old that are both in virtual school, which is crazy watching them try and navigate that. But, you know, the reality is, if this were a normal year, like I'd be gone a lot, right? Like most of my work is traveling on a monthly basis. So for me, like this is stolen time and I've gotten to be around my wife and kids and really just kind of get through this thing together. So it's been a long few months or a long year, just like it has for everybody else. But looking on the bright side for me, at least, like I've stolen a lot of time with my family, which has been incredible.
I think that's a common theme as we all reflect on what we're thankful for this time of year. I think the additional time compared to what we normally would have expected is something right. that most people are thankful for. Is there anything else you want to shout out?
I don't think so, man. How's your family?
Family's good. Staying healthy. You know, kind of my mantra has been consistent since March. It's one foot in front of the other, head above water. And I think the folks in my world have adopted that as well. So just appreciative, grateful for all that. But yeah, let's dive into PLL Assists. And I want to start at the beginning, which is an appropriate place to start typically. Mm-hmm. And I remember when PLL gets announced formally about a month after news had broken that it was coming. And subsequent to the announcement of the league's formation, there were all of these initiatives that were pretty well sequenced from a kind of PR standpoint. And it struck me as odd, compelling, and ultimately very logical that PLL Assists would be one of the foremost announcements. It included three pillars upon which the league wanted to build its charitable endeavors and community building endeavors as well, right? It's not just about doing good. It's also about doing good for a certain group of people. And that was kind of the way that it was envisioned. Can you just, because I think it's helpful to know how this pivot or expansion is actually functioning, it's helpful to know kind of how it started. So how was PLLSys initially launched?
Yeah, so PLLSys, you know, to your point, was launched a month after we publicly announced the PLL. So October of 2018, we announced PLL, and then October 2018, we announced PLL, and then November of 2018, we announced PLLSys. And you know, with fighting cancer, supporting veterans, and growth / increasing access being the three pillars. It was originally launched on, made a ton of sense, right? Like, I think in the lacrosse community, growth and increasing access and getting sticks in kids' hands is something that everyone is pretty passionate about. And I think it's an obvious way, if we can get into underserved communities and get more people playing this game, the opportunity it can create for them, it can create the same ones they did for you and I, right? And then, you know, the close relationship between veterans and the lacrosse community is obvious as well. And there's a ton of organizations doing really meaningful work there. And then when it comes to fighting cancer, obviously the Headstrong Foundation, as well as another, as well as a bunch of other organizations, are doing a great job in that space as well. So those three pillars at the beginning made a ton of sense because there was already a natural relationship built there.
And the league goes forward with its first season. Obviously, pandemic hits, totally changes the way in which the second season is able to function. The championship series emerges as a concept. There's a pretty cool initiative teaming seven different growth organizations with seven different teams. That was a pretty cool moment for the way in which kind of the PLLSys idea came to life. How do you reflect on the work that was actually done over the, say, intervening 24 months from announcement to now?
Yeah, no, I'll give like a really brief overview. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought there because my daughter walked in mouthing something. I still don't know what she was saying.
Hence virtual school.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. It threw me off completely. I forgot what I was talking about. But no, so since just to give like context on how I fit in. So basically at the time I was not, when we launched, I was not managing PLLSys. I was focused on player relations. And then shortly after the new year into 2019, we kind of launched our D&I, diversity and inclusion arm of the business, which I was managing, right? And so I think as I was managing diversity and inclusion and kind of building our strategy there and direction there, we had our first season, the inaugural season. And then within that season, it was clear that like a lot at the time, a lot of the work we were doing in the diversity and inclusion space had a lot of crossover into some of our PLLSys partners, right? There was like natural synergy there. So we rolled D&I under PLLSys and we kept building. And then ultimately, you know, as we get to 2020, a lot of these initiatives are just outside of those three pillars, right? We're doing a lot of work within, you know, growth, fighting cancer, supporting veterans, but we're also working in the LGBTQ community. We're working with Mental Health America, working with Century Friendly Cities. We're working and operating in a number of different spaces, whether that's activating or raising funds, whatever it is. And so as we had our, as we headed towards the championship series, and to your point around the growth organizations, we were trying to find ways like, okay, you know, typically in a normal year, these organizations could come to the game, right? We could get these players down on the field. They could meet the players. We could create a really cool and unique experience for these kids from one of our growth partners. Unfortunately, given the scenario that happened with COVID, we're going to be unable to do that. So we looked at partnering a growth partner with each team, just putting those together, pairing them together. And what happened was the teams would have Zooms with these organizations. They raised funds for them all tournament long. All series long, I should say, which was incredible. And I think, you know, what we watched come from that, Terry, is not only was the league level partnership between growth org and team meaningful, but I think we saw like some players took it on themselves to raise funds. Like Nick Ocello raised, I want to say like $15,000-$16,000 for Al's Lacrosse in Chicago. I know Pat Harbison did some really meaningful work. Matt McMahon and Joey Sankey raised a ton of cash. So like for different organizations. So players really took it on themselves to use that championship series as a platform to raise some funds for really important organizations.
And so that brings us to now, which is, to your point, kind of reimagining the program in order to better fit the work that's being done. So what's the approach?
Yeah. So the approach was, you know, all right, finally got through the championship series and like took a breath for the first time in however long and just really looked at the structure of PLLSys and where we were doing our most work and most meaningful work, I should say, And it just made sense that we needed to expand and kind of honestly just reimagine how our structure was set up. And so we went from having three pillars, which honestly, if you think about having three pillars, like you should be operating within those three pillars, right? And we were no longer doing that. So we went from three pillars. And then we looked at, all right, do we need six pillars? Do we need 10 pillars? I think that it got more complicated the more pillars we added. And so where we landed after a ton of research.
I grew up in a house that had like fake pillars on the front, right? Like they weren't actually supporting the roof the way a pillar is supposed to, but they were there. So basically right. It became kind of a tool that I could just tell people like, oh yeah, when you're heading over, ours is the house with the pillars in front. I honestly don't remember how many there were, and that was not very long ago. So I think that that speaks to your point of questioning how many pillars you need is something that
right.
I can relate to directly.
Yeah, I like that. I might use that, Terry. I might just change it to my house just so the story fits a little better when I'm talking. But no, so, you know, we decided, you know, let's not just add a ton of pillars. And I think the way we can do this is we can have a new mission and we can have six goals. And so our new mission is an effort to grow the sport of lacrosse and honor its heritage, inspire inclusivity, engage with our communities, and promote healthy and sustainable living. We'll work to proactively navigate social change, bring awareness to marginalized members of society, garner support for those in need, and foster the continual growth of our great sport. So that's our mission, which I think covers all the work we're trying to do under the PLL Assist umbrella. And then we went from three pillars to six goals. Our six goals being: one, build inclusive, empathetic, and anti-racist locker rooms in lacrosse; two, enable healthy living; three, honor the heritage of the game; four, increase educational opportunity and access in our communities; five, develop a more diverse sport; and promote environmental sustainability. And, you know, Terry, what's interesting about these goals for us as we were building this, you know, we were finding that, like, out of our 20 to 25 plus partners and collaborators, like, each one of those organizations kind of fits neatly into one of these goals already. And so, again, we're already doing this work. It was just about making our structure match the work and the direction that we're already moving in.
Totally. And so one of the things that this entire conversation points to is, why is it important for a professional sports league to take this on?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's important for a number of different reasons, right? I think visibility is obviously an important one, because we are so visible as a professional sports league and professional players. I think, you know, I mentioned it earlier, but what I'm so proud of out of everything we're doing is how active our players are in this stuff, right? Like from the funds that individual players raise, you know, during championship series, to our guys, like they'll just drop in to one of our growth partners that's doing, you know, whatever it is, and whether a growth partner has an actual clinic or event or something at the school, like our players are so willing to go work with kids and get involved in mentoring programs. And then, you know, I think that secondarily, when it comes to our player involvement, like anything I call them for, when it comes to one of these different organizations, like someone in the league is passionate about it, right? Like Justin Gutterding does a great job leaning in on anything that Sensory Friendly Cities and folks and organizations like that are doing, just because it's a cause and something that's really close to his heart, and he's always willing to jump in. And I think, you know, I could go down the line, and each player has something that they're passionate about and really do a great job just jumping in.
I think that's really well said. And it's, you know, when, just to kind of circle back to the point that I made about the reaction I had to the announcement launching PLL Assist in November 2018, is the reason I found it odd is because for a startup organization, I guess I'll put it this way, in many people's minds, charitable support is a luxury. It's what you do after you have kind of met the minimum standards that are necessary in order to operate. Exactly. Whereas, like, when you're a startup and you have so much work to do just to, like, kind of get your own footing, I can understand if, you know, the organization says, well, we just don't have time for that right now. We'll get to that somewhere down the line. But to, you know, proactively come out of the gate and say, like, hey, this is something that's important to us, something that we're working on. To your point about visibility, I think that it really speaks to your second point, which is visibility with your players and being able to say to the guys who have, you know, taken the risk on joining your league, joining your organization, and say, like, yeah, I mean, we are going to actively work to try to make your experience better in these 10 different ways. But we're also not going to lose sight of the fact that, you know, we've all got it pretty good. And we're going to try to collectively be a part of helping other people have it a little bit better than they otherwise would if we weren't in their lives. And so I definitely hear where you're coming from. The PLL has always been built on the notion of our, one of our core assets, if not our core asset, is our players. And so kind of utilizing our players collectively to row the boat in one direction better is going to be really significant toward achieving our goals. And so now that you are, maybe even a little bit more clear than you previously were in what your goals are, it makes sense that, this is a way in which your players can kind of dive in and say, all right, well, maybe I didn't necessarily have an individual touch point with supporting veterans battling cancer or the growth of lacrosse, but I'm really passionate about environmental sustainability. So I'm going to utilize that through PLL in order to drive that point forward.
Yeah, man. No, you just hit it on the head. I think that's what it's been really cool for me to see. That the fact that literally anything we do, there's always going to be a player or a group of players that are passionate about getting involved in a more meaningful way. And I think what's even cooler is we have guys doing stuff that we don't even know about. Right, like I'll get an email from an organization that says, we had a player come by and just spend some time with the kids, or we had a player jump on a Zoom call or do a Zoom workout with us. Just we hear this stuff all the time. So I think we're excited about the six goals. We're excited about the new mission, and there's a lot of meaningful work to be done as we head into 2021. But we've got some good stuff on deck as well to finish out the year.
And I think that that's kind of the point that I would make right now, which is that 2020 was a very difficult year for all of us, including for the PLL, right? Like you had to pivot from, having this slate of weekend games that were going to emulate a successful season one, to having to do, an entire bubble tournament in July and August that was self-contained, no fans involved, and not as long as it would have been in a normal year. That being said, we are thankful, we are grateful, and we have the capacity to give. And I think that the emergence of Giving Tuesday is something that people broadly understand, maybe more so than 10 years ago, for example, is a really positive outcome of the last 10 years or so. And so I guess my question is, like, is there anything that you would recommend listeners to this podcast to look at or do in an effort to, potentially show the world, show themselves, show the, kind of spiritual side of their lives that even when things are tough, like they were this year, I've got capacity to do a little bit more, as we head into the end of the 2020 calendar year.
Yeah, I don't think I could articulate it any better than you just did. But what I would say, or at least from the PLL Sys perspective, is, if you go to the new PLL Sys webpage, which just go to premierlacrosse.com and it's right there. Give that a click and subscribe to our newsletter. I think one thing we're really excited about that we probably should have had earlier. But again, with this kind of reimagining of our direction and vision here, is we're going to have a newsletter where we're highlighting what our partners are doing, right? I think the thing I hear the most, Terry, at least I have the past few months, is like, oh gosh, didn't even know you guys were doing that. Oh, really? Like, you're partnering with that? Like, people just, for whatever reason, didn't know the amount of things we had going on. So we're going to launch a newsletter the second week of December, in which it'll be, communicate our priorities, our direction, and our initiatives that we're working on, and really highlight the work our partners are doing and give our readers the opportunity to get involved with our partners, right? And so I think for me, follow the PLL Assist IG page, which is new as well, just at PLL Assist, and follow along, because for us, obviously, we're personally focused on doing really meaningful work, but the organizations that we're partnered with and collaborating with are also always doing meaningful work as well. So you can get involved directly with them or obviously through us. But excited about the direction, man, and it's important work. It's fun to do important work.
So I'll leave you with this. A couple weeks ago, this is a peek behind the curtain for you listeners, Kyle and I. Every once in a while, we tend to commiserate when we are a little bit down in the dumps. And I remember you asked me
Sure.
what's one positive thing going on in this sport that you can tell me about. And
I remember.
it's been not uncommon that there's been some negative stuff that we've had to go over. And one of the kind of, or not one of, the first goal that you outlined is creating lacrosse locker rooms that are more empathetic and inclusive and understand kind of the nature of their teammates better. 2 years ago, we, exactly 2 years ago, put you on the cover of Inside Lacrosse. It was the players issue. So obviously being the director of players for the PLL, it was a very appropriate choice. We talked in an interview issue of the magazine about your experience of being a black lacrosse player, and in the intervening 2 years, your exposure to the number of negative incidents has absolutely increased. But I would hope, and this is what I'm going to ask you, that your exposure to the way in which the sport, you know, is improving, your line of sight has become clearer on that as well. So for a conversation that started by talking about Roots, which was a video project that was probably ultimately meant to illustrate some of the stereotypes that people hold not being as accurate as they think they are, to end this conversation on the heels of a year in which racial diversity and racial justice was a huge part of the dialogue all year long.
Yeah.
Where are we when it comes to the conversation of lacrosse locker rooms or their racial inclusivity, and what do you want to see in 2021 that will show you that we took a step forward from 2020?
Yep. So I remain optimistic, man, right? Like I think, and I said this on another interview when I asked a similar question recently, I've never seen our sport more unified in a discussion. And what I mean by that, Terry, is like, we don't all agree, right? Like we don't all agree on the way to solve the problem. We don't all agree on what the problem is, but for the first time in my professional career, so 17 years, like people at all levels are talking about this. This is at the youth level. This is at the governing body level. This is at the media level, college, professional, you know, every race, every gender, everyone is talking about the issues we have in this sport and how we need to solve them. So I feel good about where we currently are, and I feel positive in that the discussions are finally happening in almost like a unifying way. I think what I'd like to see in 2021 is us to transition from discussions to action and really taking actionable steps. So whatever that is, right, at each level, what that looks like. And what I will say is, you know, college coaches are being super active and reaching out to players of all colors to talk through what they can do better in their locker rooms and how they can have an anti-racist locker room. Like I remain optimistic and feel good about what's happening in our sport right now. And we have a long way to go. Like I'm by no means saying we did it. But at minimum right now, this is the most unified I've seen in terms of the discussions that are happening.
Well, Kyle Harrison, we'll leave you at that. We know it's a busy week. We appreciate you taking the time to join us on the Inside Lacrosse podcast. We hope that you can celebrate the holiday, have a great time with your family, and we hope that listeners to this podcast check out PLL Assists on PremierLacrosse.com, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Appreciate you, Derek. Tell the family I said hello.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.